Win stacks of cash by entering the 150K Crack the Code giveaway, brought to you by your local paper, now through July 14th. Look for the code on page A2. Then visit 150kgiveaway.com and submit your entry. You could win the grand prize of $100,000. Grab the paper every day. Get the code on page 2A and improve your chances to win tons of weekly cash prizes. Visit 150kgiveaway.com for details.
From the newsroom of the Oklahoman, I'm Ben Felder, and this is The Source. On Tuesday, the Oklahoma Supreme Court is set to hear arguments about a proposed state question to expand Medicaid to cover more of Oklahoma's uninsured. The petition filed in April to put the question on a state ballot has been stalled by a protest from a conservative think tank called the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. The court will hear from attorneys for the think tank, the group that filed the petition, and the Oklahoma Attorney General's office. The Oklahoman's Chris Castile is covering this issue. And Chris, first off, what exactly did the OCPA challenge?
They challenged two things, Ben. One was the summary of the petition. The petition that was filed in April, any petition filed has to have a summary that the people who are going to sign the petition can read fairly quickly that gives a really accurate and thorough as possible explanation of what the petition is.
They have to know what they're signing up for.
They have to know what they're signing up. And the petitions themselves, you know, the law involved in the change that a group might be proposing can be complex. It can involve, you know, different codes in statutes and everything. So you need to get the gist. It's called the gist, the summary that people sign. You need to get it right. In this case, it's super technical about the way that this was filed. The people who want to start circulating petitions said that it would make Medicaid available to those with incomes at 133% of the federal poverty level. Well, but under the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. Well, under the Affordable Care Act, it really is, it's effectively 138%. And when you read the petition, that's clear. You know, there's this kind of 5 percentage point disregard of income.
Okay.
So it really amounts to like 138%. So anyway, what the think tank is saying is that it's not accurate. They're making a second argument about the constitutionality because the people who filed this petition, they want to put Medicaid expansion in the state constitution, not just in state statute like last year, the medical marijuana law that was passed. That was statutory. It's not in the constitution. Here, they're trying to get it into the constitution. This conservative group says you really can't constitutionally bind a legislature by what the federal government does in the case of Medicaid. And Medicaid is a federal state program. Really, the federal government sets a lot of the rules. So they're saying that you can't put in the Constitution that the federal government basically dictates to the legislature how much money they have to spend.
Now, that percentage threshold, I mean, you know, you can get accurate with the numbers, so that seems kind of simple enough. And the Attorney General has kind of agreed with that, right? Yes. That they probably need to change that. But when it comes to whether or not you can legally, you know, bind the state to, you know, federal stipulations, are they arguing that only because it would be included in the Constitution? Or are they saying in general that it would be unlawful to make the state have to follow the feds?
I don't think they were making the argument that you couldn't do it statutorily. I think they were saying that in the Constitution that you violate the separation of powers that are enshrined, separation of powers enshrined obviously in the U.S. Constitution in almost every state. I would think every state constitution. That's what they're saying is that you can't constitutionally usurp the legislature's authority.
Well, have we seen similar arguments in the past?
Not that I remember like that. I mean, I can't remember any. It's fairly unique, and I think that according to the Attorney General, who was invited by the state Supreme Court to give them their views, not on whether you should expand Medicaid as a policy thing, but legally, how does this petition stack up? The Attorney General said there's really the case that the this conservative think tank is raising was an Oklahoma City case about a minimum wage, or prevailing wage with a federal law having to do with the state law. They said it's really not comparable here. And they said there's really not a precedent for what this think tank is saying. They can't really fall back on anything and say, you know, under this previous to under this precedent, you know, this is wrong. In fact, what the state attorney general said was that this theory being forwarded by this conservative think tank would prohibit the state from agreeing to participate in federal programs unless the federal government offers funding with, quote, no strings attached. But that theory would not only invalidate the present petition, it would also require the state to withdraw from its current Medicaid participation and dozens of other federal programs for which the state receives millions of dollars.
Yeah, and most of the federal funding has strings attached.
It all does, yeah.
Yeah. So arguments are starting on Tuesday. The makeup of the court is a little bit unique starting for tomorrow, right? We're going to see.
Right. I mean, there are two vacancies on the court. One retirement and one Patrick Weirich, who's recently made a federal judge. And then two justices recuse themselves. And they don't have to, under the law, say why they're recusing themselves. So you wound up with four vacancies, basically, all of which have been filled by judges who serve on the interim level of appellate courts of the Court of Civil Appeals.
I know you're speculating, but given these four judges that are going to decide this case, does it give you any indication of what they may be most interested in or how this may go?
It doesn't. I mean, it's impossible to read something like that. You know, they're all appellate judges. I mean, mm-hmm. just because they haven't been at the highest level, I mean, they actually write some of the opinions that wind up making it to the state Supreme Court. So they're not green in any way. I just don't know I don't know what impact, if any, that will have, but it's definitely unique to have four non-Supreme Court justices here in this petition.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that this would be a petition for a statewide vote would have any impact? I mean, if this were to be approved, it would be because the people of Oklahoma have decided that they'd want to put this in the Constitution.
Right.
So this would be different than the legislature doing something.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. Like, you know, let's say that the Supreme Court does adopt this kind of middle position that the AG has adopted, that the gist is flawed and it needs to be, you know, as accurate as it can possibly be. But constitutionally, it's fine. I mean, and so they go back and just reword the gist, come back, file it again. I mean, I don't think there's I can't see another protest to it. So I think they would immediately start collecting signatures, I think, based on that.
And what is that signature collection process? What's the goal? What are they shooting for to put this on?
They have to get 178,000.
Okay, and they're looking for November 2020.
That's what they want. I mean, they don't really get to decide that. I mean, ultimately, yeah. The governor would. And as we know, Governor Stitt's opposed to Medicaid expansion. Would he put it on a primary ballot? I don't. You know, that'll be up to him to decide. Yeah. Once they get the signatures, signatures are validated and approved for a statewide ballot.
Well, I know right now all the focus is on the oral arguments for Tuesday, but just taking a step back for a moment before we wrap up here, I mean, just this issue of Medicaid expansion, Obamacare, as it's somewhat known, very unpopular with the Republican legislature for years and for Republicans across the country. This year, though, we're at a point where some Republican legislators have entertained the idea. Mm-hmm. You know, they maybe haven't fully endorsed just a widespread plan. That's quite a shift from where we've been in recent years.
And two things. I mean, I think one is that some red states have done this, but very, very red states, Idaho, Wyoming, just in the last cycle. But also, I kind of think that it has a lot to do with what's happening with rural hospitals. I mean, I think that has really been sort of the wake-up call for a new look at Medicaid expansion for lawmakers, because you've had these some failings, but a lot struggling. And they start looking at the dollars that the federal expansion promises, $1 billion a year, mm-hmm. which, you know, they've already given up, what, $5 or $6 billion. That was much of it. 100%. The state would, in the first few years, the state would not have had to put up any money to get almost $1 billion. That would have flowed into the healthcare system, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of this money, you know, people think, I'm sure they can prove it, is, you know, with the poor, they often don't have primary care physicians. So a lot of them go to hospital emergency rooms, whether it's in a rural or urban area. And if they don't have Medicaid, they don't have health insurance, basically the hospital, they have to treat them, but then they basically have to write that off. I mean, there's a figure in a brief filed by healthcare providers in this case. I think it was close to $700 million in uncompensated care a year in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And that money, that uncompensated care, the cost of that gets passed on, as we know, to people who do have insurance.
Yeah. Well, one final question. We know who's against it. The OCPA is the one making this challenge. Who's in favor of this? Tell us what you know or don't know about the group that's pushing forward this effort to put it on the ballot.
I think it's going to be broad-based. I mean, the group that formed last week, this group, Oklahoma Decides Healthcare, named no names, no organization names. But you have this brief that's been filed in this case by the biggest medical groups, associations for doctors, hospitals, nurses, St. Francis in Tulsa. I mean, every medical care provider, I can't imagine anybody that would be against it. But I think also what you're going to see emerging, I think, in the next few months might be chamber support, you know. State chamber, maybe the greater Oklahoma City chamber. I think business people also see this as lost money.
Yeah.
That state has just given up money that could be flowing into these hospitals. And the brief that was filed by the medical care providers has all this kind of multiplication of how this money that goes into the healthcare system benefits communities economically, you know, how many people are hired, and they're all good, you know, they're all decent jobs, decent wages. So I think you'll see business support become more public for it.
Yeah, well, it'll be fascinating. I mean, if you have a Republican governor and other lawmakers who are against it, but these are some pretty powerful groups that might be in favor of it, would maybe definitely make it an interesting issue to watch. But first, we've got to get through this court challenge. We know you'll be there watching it and reporting on that. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
All right, glad to do it, Ben.